If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
The new issue of Chicago Magazine, the March issue, is just out, and there's an article in here that is fantastic. It's called What Chefs Know. To find out what restaurant life is really like, we asked some of the city's top culinary pros to show us how the sausage gets made. And did they ever? Michael Gebert did the article. He's here to talk with us. Good morning, Mike. How you doing?
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
By the way, are you still doing some stuff for the Reader as well?
No, not for the Reader. I worked for them for several years. I have my own site called Fooditor now, and I freelance for things like Chicago Magazine, obviously.
You've been covering food in Chicago for quite a while, and for this article, you talked to a number of chefs, and they're anonymous, too. And reading some of the comments from the chefs, I understand why.
Yeah, I mean, this is a series that Chicago Magazine has done. They've done What Cops Know, What CTA Workers Know. And yeah, the goal is to get people to totally open up about the reality of working in that business and what they see every day and all that kind of stuff.
Were they happy to talk to you as long as they were anonymous?
Yeah, I knew who to pick, who first of all would be frank and be, you know, blunt talkers about the business, and most of them, you know, something they can't normally talk about with people, so they were kind of happy to get into it.
Let's talk about some of the things that they revealed. First of all, most of these people are young, right? And I think you write, you don't see a lot of chefs over the age of 40 unless they're a chef owner. It's a young man's business, isn't it? Or a young woman's business.
Yeah, a lot of people find their way into some kind of business where they have normal hours and they're not on their feet for 14 hours a day. You know, working in corporate food in some way or something like that. Or who knows what they do? I don't know.
Well, one of the revelations in here, I never thought about this. Delivery apps. Apparently, somebody spoke to you about how what happens on those apps, not the fault of the restaurant. What goes on? What do they do?
Well, delivery the drivers apps are very frustrating for a lot of chefs because they lose control over their product at a certain point. And, you know, as this chef said, if it came to you cold, that's because the guy left the place an hour ago with your food, and who knows what he's been up to. Toking up is one of the possible answers, according to this chef. So,
and I imagine there are worse things that happen.
Who knows? Who knows?
And also, this caught my eye. Yelp is a necessary evil. It's almost like the lifeblood of the industry now. It's crazy. Some chef spoke to you about that. But all the restaurant people now know how important Yelp is, don't they?
Yeah, you got to play the game, and you know there's no way not to. They're going to have you in their system whether you like it or not. But it has given, you know, people a voice, and some people are going to abuse that. And Yelp drives people crazy. A lot of the chefs I've talked to, you know, the wise thing to do is not read the Yelp yourself, but have someone on your staff who does. So if there's a real problem, you can spot it, but you're not going in first thing in the morning and having someone rip your life apart.
Yeah, I wonder how many of those reviews are honest. I mean, I guess if you look at 5, 10, 15 reviews, you know, you get a sense of reality there. But there's always a possibility that a disgruntled employee or somebody like that is going to post a review that's not really true.
Oh, and that absolutely happens. I mean, if somebody gets fired, that's probably about the first thing they're going to do is go on Yelp and trash you. You know, just as a food writer, I don't use Yelp to tell me, oh, this is the best pizza in town. Everybody says that about somewhere. But you can look at it for actual information. You know, I always said, like with pizza, if somebody says, yeah, old Joe's in the back making the sausage himself every day, then you know something about that pizza place.
Right, exactly. One of the revelations here in this Chicago Magazine story by Michael, somebody says... in a restaurant, some chef, we have to order new silverware every 2 months because people take it. Really?
That is amazing to me. I mean, I would feel bad looking at my stolen silverware every night when I ate at home, but apparently some people don't.
Yeah, I know. It's one of the many revelations in this article in Chicago Magazine, the March issue, what chefs know. Michael Gilbert, who wrote the article in Chicago Magazine to find out what restaurant life is really like, he asked some of the city's top culinary pros to show how the sausage gets made. The article is called What Chefs Know. And let's talk about tipping and what people revealed in the restaurant business anonymously to you, Michael, about tipping. And I guess basically they see it runs the gamut, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's what one of the chefs just said. I mean, you're American. You know what the deal is with tipping. And yet it doesn't happen. People vary what they tip. I know there's a lot of concern in the restaurant industry that you get more tips if you're a white, bubbly, attractive, younger person, and less if you're anything else. So, you know, it just is, it's this very arbitrary system. And the other thing is cooks don't get a piece of it. So it creates this kind of economic imbalance in restaurants that, you know, can be bad for the culture, can run out of control in certain circumstances.
The item in the story here says everybody thinks that everybody tips 20%. That's not the case. And then one chef said to you, nothing drives me crazier than people who just fundamentally do not tip. People who run up $100 tabs at the bar and leave a goose egg. Who are these people? And yeah. I guess that happens a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And then let's talk about the day that restaurant people apparently think is the worst. Somebody talked to you about this and said Mother's Day is the worst, the most awful people. It's a forced obligation. Thanksgiving feels more like a celebration. Christmas is more about old family resentments. Easter, everybody's exhausted and just wants to get their eggs Benedict and a pile of shrimp and get the hell out. But at least this one chef hated Mother's Day, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. You know, he had this whole sociology of how you know, restaurants behave on different holidays like that. So,
and were people chefs you talked to happy to sort of unload on you?
Yeah.
Seems it would be therapeutic for them.
Things you can't say normally to, you know, certainly not to the customers who walk into your restaurant.
Here's another good one here. If you have a really great meal and an awful server, said one chef, there's a good chance you're not coming back. If you have a really great server and an awful meal, you may give that place another try. Yeah, the servers and even the hostess, so important.
Well, and that's the thing. I think a lot of foodies look at it as, you know, almost like a cooking competition show or something like that. But for normal people, so much more goes into it about just, are you made welcome? Do you feel comfortable there? You know, are you happy to be there? And you go out wanting to have that feeling again.
Yeah. A couple more things. Somebody in the article says, I think Michelin made this town insane. You're not cooking for your customers anymore. You're cooking for a tire guide. I mean, how aware are chefs of all of these rating reviews, people like you who are picking best lists and so forth? How much does that get into their head?
Oh, I think a lot. And I think Michelin, you can see certain chefs, and admittedly, this is only at the very tip top, but they're chasing that. They're cooking to what they think Michelin wants. And even if they're not thinking of the guide, they're thinking of the tourists. They're thinking of customers from out of town rather than their own, you know, their own local base. And I guess that works for some of them, but I think others end up chasing it in a way that isn't particularly natural to them.
Here's something I haven't thought about, but one anonymous chef said to you, if the music in a restaurant is faster, you'll eat faster. If I slow the music down, you might be here all night. And of course, they want to turn those tables, don't they?
Yeah, and I thought that was a really interesting point. Another chef made a similar one about the chairs. You don't want the chairs to be too comfortable, because if the chairs are too comfortable and the music is too slow and soft, you're just going to camp out there all night. And they really want it to be just comfortable enough so that after an hour and a half or so, you're thinking, yeah, this was great, time to move on.
Another revelation in Michael's article in Chicago Magazine. And I thought about this over the weekend because I had to cancel a reservation. And when I called the restaurant to say, you know, we have to cancel, they seemed so elated that I called, because I guess most people don't do that.
Just
and
don't show.
One chef said to you, if you don't call and then no show on a Saturday night on a four top, That could have been $500, and $500 in a restaurant this size, probably was referring to a small restaurant, that could be my profit for the night. So everything I did today, I came in at 9 in the morning, all my guys worked 14 hours, hustled, bustled, had a great night. I did it for what? I made nothing because you didn't show up for your reservation. Wow.
Yeah. You know, it's not a big money business most of the time. I mean, there are a few big money places, but the average restaurant, one table has a big impact on what they're going to do that night.
And at least according to one chef, you have to have chocolate on the menu. This person said, it's very hard to have a menu without a chocolate dessert. If I don't have one, people will just ask me for pieces of chocolate. I'm like, are you serious? You need chocolate that badly? That could have been me asking.
Yeah. Yeah, chocolate and Brussels sprouts are apparently the two magic things. That's one thing I learned here. Not on the same dish, but... You know, people have this idea that chefs can do whatever they want. They can create this Frank Gehry-looking wild sculpture on a plate. No, you got to have certain things. People are going to expect certain things in a restaurant, and you got to have them.
In addition to the piece in the March issue of Chicago Magazine, Michael Gebert has a little booklet called The Fooditor 99. What does the 99 refer to?
I just started doing, you know, everybody does their lists of what the best restaurants are in town. I started doing mine, and then I thought, instead of doing it as an article, why not do it as something people can carry around? So it's self-published through Amazon. I sell several hundred of them every year. And, you know, you can just keep in your glove compartment or your backpack or whatever, and when you need a restaurant, there's a restaurant in there for you.
The book under the title says Where to Eat and What to Eat. From the acclaimed Chicago food site, Michael Gebert, editor of Fooditor. And just looking through here, you've got all kinds of different restaurants in here, don't you? Not from sort of pricey to cheap.
Yeah, no, I like to cover the whole city. What's fascinating about the city is we have everything from high-end restaurants that are internationally known to ethnic restaurants, pizza joints, Italian beef, all those things, you know, all over the city. And there's always one that's better than the next two or three. So, you know, point people's interest towards that one.
Your article in Chicago Magazine is available now. It's the March issue of Chicago, What Chefs Know. And as far as the book, how can people get this?
Just go on Amazon, look for Fooditor. Food, I-T-O-R, like editor, and it'll be yours.
Michael Gebert, it's good to meet you, and nice story in Chicago Magazine. It's
Thank
really
you.
Fascinating. I mean, we all go to restaurants, but we often don't hear from the other side about what's really going on, their likes, their dislikes, because they like to, I imagine when chefs get together, they talk about all of this, but, you know, these are things that they don't necessarily want the public to know. But we should know so we can fix some of these issues.
So we can be better customers.
Yeah,
sure.
We're trying. Have a good day. Thanks,
Thank
Mike. It is coming up on 3 minutes before 8 o'clock. We'll get the Dean Richards Entertainment Report coming up after the news. And also, we'll talk to one of the creators of Chicago PD about what's going on with that show right here in Chicago. That's coming right up.